Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, once again we thank you. First of all, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and salvation is in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the perfect and untarnished work of the redemption of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for blessings that money cannot buy. We thank you for blessings that money can buy. We thank you for the gift of health and the gift of long life. We thank you for the country Nigeria. We thank you for all of the brethren here, online and on site. We are grateful. 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 Thank you for yesterday's election. Thank you because the will of God has prevailed. The will of God has prevailed. The will of God has prevailed. Thank you because this country is doing well. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you because the hand of God is upon your people. It's upon them for success. It's upon them for good. It's upon them for joy. The Bible says that no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. It says every tongue that rises against you shall be condemned in judgment. Thank you because every tongue that rises against you is condemned. Every tongue that rises against you is condemned. Every weapon fashioned against you is cancelled. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Holy Father, because your people prosper. They prosper in this season. They prosper this year. They prosper in life. They prosper in the industry. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are blessed above measure. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, you can have your seats. Glory to God. All right. So this morning, we're going to conclude our series on discipleship. And let me tell you how we're teaching harvesters. If you notice, you may not notice this. Every Sunday, you may think the topics are disconnected, but they are not. What we do is that every month, there is a focus. And someone says, why do you do that? Because I believe that for you to properly exhaust the topic, you need to go over and over and over it again. So, you know, for the past 2 months since January, we began the series on discipleship. And as February ends, we're going to end and we're going to move to another series, which is very powerful next month. And in the series of discipleship, the focus is simple. The focus is to challenge us to move from just being a Christian to a disciple. Someone say, what does that mean? I thought I was a disciple. Listen to this. You can be a Christian and not a disciple. The same way you can be a child and not responsible. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. You can, you know, you need to be a disciple. You need to be a disciple. So we're looking at the different components of what disciple, what following Jesus would look like. What following Jesus will look like. And we looked at the concept of, if you want to follow Jesus Christ, you must belong to a family. We looked at the church as a spiritual family. And the reason I'm saying so is that many of you want a church to be a place of transaction. That's not the way God designed the church. If you read the Bible, you will see Paul saying to Timothy, my son Timothy. He used those words in a very powerful way. Because So the church is designed as a family. And until, you know, you want to give me water, thank you. Yeah, so the church is designed as a family. And the reason why that is important is this. I don't know who is here that you have a perfect family. Everything is okay with all your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, their wives and their husbands and their children. If you have that kind of family, please raise up your hands. I want to pray to be in your family. So what does that mean? No family is perfect. The same thing with the church. In the church, you're going to have crazy people sometimes. You're going to have people that are dating 3 or 4 people. You're going to have people that want to take another person's husband. You're going to have people that are very holy. You're going to have people that are not very holy. You're going to have people that are doing so well that are not doing so well. But that's what a church is. So sometimes when people say, the church did this to me, sometimes it's the fact that you expect too much from the church. Because you don't expect that they're like you. Because someone said the church is full of perfect people. That's a lie. Because you are there. and you're imperfect. So even if you were perfect before you came, as soon as you joined the church, you destroyed the perfection. So when you deal with, and that's why sometimes someone says, ah, Pastor, I met this guy, he's a great guy. He even attends our church. I say, what does that mean? It means nothing. It means nothing. You can as well have met him in the mosque. Because even demons come to church on Sunday, don't you know that? They come, you know, demons love to come to a great church like this to check out what is happening and report back to headquarters. Maybe the one you found was a demon-possessed one. Praise God. So this is very important. This is very, just the way you deal, just the way you deal with this. It's in your mentality. How the church is structured. So you want to do business with someone in church, you must do your due diligence. Because he may just not be a good guy. He may have received Jesus Christ, but he's bad in business. And he might just be a thief that's recovering. Glory to God. So the reason why I'm saying so today is that, but the ultimate thing, in a church, the goal of the church, people come into a family, but when they come into a family, the goal is to recruit them into an army. So let me give you this example. Everybody look at me. So when people come to church, the first thing is come and see. That's what just going to say. Come and see. So when you come to church, you tell, hey, my pastor is good. Come and see. The preacher is good. Come and see. You know, and the choir is good. Come and see. It's about come and experience something. But that's where you start from. But that's not where you end from. Where do you end from? Come and die. When Peter, James, and John just going to say, come and see. But at some point, just Christ told them that if any man will come after me, he will die first. So what I'm saying is that you have to move, and this is a powerful message, you have to move from the come and see Christian to a Christian that is dead to the things of the world. The major problem with church is that we have people that have stayed in church for a long time, and they're in the come and see phase of their Christianity. They have not entered a dying stage of their Christianity. And that's why you can see someone, you join church and your habits have not changed. You cannot be born again and your habits don't change with time. Your habits, see, there are things you drink, you should stop drinking. There are things you smoke, you must stop smoking. Someone say, is shisha okay? I'm never going to get to argument with you. Just do when Jesus Christ is there. Just sit down with Jesus Christ. You know, because my problem is that most people that do shisha, they don't do shisha because they want to. It's the worldliness. It's the fact that, you know, if you would do it for yourself, that's something else. It's a fact that you want to be amongst them. You want to show that you are not behind. Someone said, am I saying shisha is right or wrong? That's not my question today. My question is this. Will you do it if Jesus Christ was there? I'm not even disputing, you know, here or there. Someone says, is this dress nice? Jesus Christ just walking with you. Just remember you have the Holy Spirit. And you wear that kind of dress. And the Holy Ghost say that I have to come out of this body. I can't be here. I have to come out of this body. I cannot be here with this kind of dress. There are things you wear that shows that it's more of a demon presence than more of the Holy Spirit presence. Glory to God. Does your bank account show you are born again? Your bank account shows that you have loyalty to British Airlines, to Delta Airlines, to Louis Vuitton. Does this show loyalty to God's kingdom? The way you spend money is going to be different if you are now a disciple. That's the thing. Because the values of the disciples are different. Does a show... Can I... Listen to me. If I look at your life, do I have enough proof from your social media that you're a Christian? If I look at your Instagram, can I find enough proof that you know Christ? I find enough proof that you're an Arsenal fan. I find enough proof that you're a Barcelona fan. I find enough proof that you love Gucci and and Prada. I find enough proof that you eat a lot and you fly to different countries, that you've been to Mauritius and Barcelona and this and that. But I can't find proof that you read the Bible. I can't find proof that you know the Holy Spirit. I can't find proof that you know Jesus. There's no proof. And that's why people keep suggesting to you things because they don't know where you stand. Someone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do I know if I'm growing as a Christian? Am I changing? Someone says, how do I know if I'm growing as a Christian? Let me help you. the way you know you're growing as a Christian is this: is my perspective becoming more like Christ? Am I finding it easy to forgive? Am I finding it easier to forgive? It's a journey. Sometimes it's not a one-day journey. Am I finding it easier to trust God? Have I learned the act of prayer over worry? That is the way that shows I'm growing as a Christian. Have I learned the act of forgiveness? Have I learned some self-discipline? Normally, I would wreck out and rage and use the F word. You know, it's amazing, this generation, because this generation thinks there's nothing wrong with the F word. You're lucky I'm not God. The next time he uses, you'll be on the way to hellfire. You're lucky. And the reason why, let me tell you something. The problem with Christian, especially when this, with the people I speak with, I don't know about other people, is that most people sin when it's cultural. Just not to be. So when you see people that normally they will not say F word, but when they get into this class of people, and everybody just throwing, throwing it, they'll just throw their own. We have to be cool. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, thou shalt not follow the multitude to do evil. Let me show you that scripture. I don't want to tell you. I want you to see from the Bible. There's something about reading from the Word of God. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that even during this period, you see, oh, wow. Exodus chapter 23, verse 2. Exodus chapter 23, verse 2. Can we read together? He says, thou shalt not follow what? Multitude to do evil. That means others may, I may not. There are certain things I cannot do because I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Living together when you're not married is still wrong. You know, church is funny. You look at the one that got pregnant and you castigate her. Then the ones that live together, you leave them. Those ones are living in sin. That one sinned. Church will throw stones at homosexuals. But the people that have sex outside marriage, are they not the same? Because you know what church does? The sin I don't sin is bigger. As far as not the one sinning it, it's bigger. So once you don't have same-sex attraction, you're a saint. But the one that is still, because the two of them are caught fornication and adultery, I hope you know. Please, let me stay with the Bible. Praise God. The reason why I'm saying so is that Chuma, come. Where's Chuma? Is he here? Pastor, come. Yeah. The pastor in white. I need someone here. Come, yeah. Is Chuma here? He's not available. I need someone else that is available. Who else is huge? Like, you know, just... Is he here? He's coming. Hey, Chuma, come here. It's amazing. The other day, I called him all the single kids. Pull me. This is the reason why you're not growing. The flesh and the spirit have equal hold in your life. That's the reason why. So, you call for wine press. This spirit or white is spirit. You call for wine press. You take three steps forward. One, two, three. Spirit is winning. Then what happened? February 14 comes. Flesh will drag everything that spirit has given you. Flesh will come and collect it. Praise God. That's what happens. You come for Sunday service, 3 days fasting and prayer, spirits will drag you. You know, then something has to happen.
Friday night, flesh will just take over everything. You now wonder, why am I not going as a Christian? Because the flesh and the spirit has what? Equal hold on you. Glory to God. You know what to do, right? Disconnect the flesh. Someone says, disconnect the flesh. It's simple. There's some relationship you have to disconnect to grow spiritually. Thank you. All right. Ready? That was, I was just testing the microphone. I've not started preaching. No. Just tested the microphone. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Because I'm talking about living without regret. Living what? Without regret. Living without regret. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Just testing the microphone. I mean, look at all these handsome men here. You are meant to be ushers. Why are you not an usher? Tell me. Is it that you are too big to serve in the house of God? I'm talking to all the men. The same thing with the women. It's true. When they go to party, you are the one they will see walking up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. In the house of God, you will see them like stew. I'm challenging you to live for God. That's what I'm doing. See, it's intentional. I'm challenging you that don't feel comfortable with coming to church, because that's not what God wanted. What God wants is to live through you. That's what God wants. You know what God wants? God wants you as a bank manager. You're a greeter. And one of your customers walks in and sees you say, welcome to church. Say, hey, see the bank manager. And he's so overwhelmed, like, with how far he is in life. See what he's doing for Christ. All of the girls that look up to you on Instagram, they come to you, you greet out, you're an usher in church. And you say, hey, welcome to church. That's your seat. They're like, hey, with all these 1 million followers, 300,000 followers on Twitter, see what she's doing. And they're inspired. That's what it means for God to get the glory to your life. That's what it means. So I'm hoping that I can provoke you. I'm hoping that I can have ladies that can say, nobody saw my pants, yet I did well in business. And I'm saying it so that we can raise a generation of women that can, were not abused and were successful. Somebody say hallelujah. The reason why you must serve God is this. Let me tell you something. Everybody has a hole in the heart that only serving and living for God can fill. I'm telling you, sometimes you hear, you know, when I was praying for this teaching, we were talking about the guy that founded Apple, Steve Jobs, and how towards the end of his life, he had huge regrets. And I said, that hole is always there. Do you notice that suicide is not prevalent among the poor? It's common among the rich. The reason why rich people commit suicide, let me tell you today. This is the reason why rich people always think, when I have this amount of money and wealth, I'll be very happy. So when they get it and they're not happy, there's that disappointment. And they don't know where else to look for fulfillment and happiness, so they kill themselves. A lot of people that are rich are very unhappy. I'm telling you, the happiest people are in the villages. The happiest, they're in the villages. Either dollar goes up, naira comes down. They are very, because the reason why is that happiness is state of mind. You thought, once I acquire more, I'll become more happy. Are you not more happy? You are more famous, you've had more money, you are married, you have children. Are you more happy? That's why the biggest thing can give yourself is your happiness. You thought, once you got married, you'll be more happy. Are you not more happy as a married person? Is a married not a burden? And you think it's your partner. It's not your partner. It's the mindset. Because once you come into mind to get happy, you'll be very sad. Once you, listen to me, let me say it again, in case you didn't hear. I want to increase the volume. Once you come into relationship or mind to be happy, you'll be very sad. The reason why is that you came into relationship to take. No, sir. You have to come to give. The happiness you don't have personally, nobody can give it to you. You know who disagrees with me? Someone that is unhappy in their relationship disagrees with me. And that's why you're unhappy, but you still disagree. That's why some people, they experience delay and unhappiness in marriage, because they are looking for what does not exist. I'm looking for someone that will make me happy. The person does not exist. The person that will make you happy is you with the help of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes wait for someone that will take yourself out. What's wrong with you? Somebody say hallelujah. And I'm saying it because you need to learn. You need to learn. You need to learn. A lot of people are very unhappy. Sometimes they're very damaging things for me. They're overwhelmed, they're unhappy. And I say, and the reason why is that a lot of things happen that makes you unhappy. What do you do for yourself that builds happiness back into you? For example, you're unhappy right now. You're on your bed watching the service. How would that help you be happy? Okay, watching the service is one step. But being in the physical service would go a longer way. Didn't you hear what David said? He said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house. There's a glad, there's a joy that comes. Praise God. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I don't even know how I got here this morning. So let me say something quickly here. Because the Spirit of God brought to my attention, but I couldn't say it in the first service. When I was praying this morning, he brought to my attention. Then he brought my attention in the first service. I want to say it now. Many of you have ideas of what you should do that runs through your mind. The way you know what to do is that take those ideas and begin to pray about it. Two things. Begin to pray about the ideas. The reason why is that whatever you're praying about, I want to say in a structured way. Father, help me. A lot of people are very concerned about the next step to take. And they have a lot of thoughts that should I do this? Should I do that? This is how God helps you. When you begin to pray, and watch this now. Please watch this because I know you pray. This is a praying church. The way you go forward is that as you begin to pray, the Holy Spirit will begin to push ideas in your heart. Most of you that are not trained think those ideas are distraction. Take a minute and write them down. Take a minute and write them down. So, once you write down the idea, in another time of prayer, I'm teaching you, these are spiritual operations. So, these are spiritual operations. In another time of prayer, you take the ideas and say, Lord, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and begin to pray. And the one the Spirit of God wants you to do, you will focus on it. That's the second step. The third step is this. Once you know what the Spirit of God wants you to do, you go into cancel mode. Look for those ahead of you and say, this is what the Spirit of God has inspired me to do. How should I do it? Those people are dream interpreters. They will begin to interpret what the Spirit of God has set up in your heart. Because the Bible says, through counsel, every enterprise is established. Through counsel, every enterprise is established. Someone say hallelujah. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. That was, I just needed to get that out of my spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So sometimes, watch this now. You can do a good spiritual idea and it fails. It can fail because it was not done right, because you lacked counsel. Number two, it can fail because the timing was wrong. So, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Timing is key. And sometimes, it's because of counsel. So, the wise men saw the star, but they went to see Herod for counsel. Herod's counsel diverted them from the plan of God. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. The Bible says all scripture, and this is the purpose of the Bible, the scriptures, is given by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Why I'm going to the word reproof? What reproof means for evidence. For evidence. So, someone says, how do you know if something is right or wrong? Our evidence in determining as Christians if something is right or wrong is not what social media says, it's the word of God. You need to understand this. This is fundamental of Christianity. What we use to determine if something is right or wrong is not popular opinion, it's not party affiliation. What we use to determine is not science. What we use to determine if something is right or wrong is what does the Bible say? Because the Bible says that the scripture is given for what? Reproof. What reproof means is the word elenko, which is used in Hebrews 11:1 when it says faith, sort of thing, so forth. The evidence. That what evidence seems to what reproof is evidence. What does that mean? Someone said to me that I want you to, someone to tell me. He said that, someone said to me, he said that they told me who my husband is. One prophet told me my husband, but I don't like him. I said, that's fine. Just show me the Bible where Jesus Christ chose husband for people. Then she became dumbfounded. He said, but they said the Holy Spirit said, let me say something to you. I want to help today. The original Pentecostal churches in Nigeria, in Africa, they had one problem. All those white garment churches, some of them, it was not as if God was not with them when they started. That's not the truth. Some of them started with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you what happened. Because they were started by illiterates, they could not really read. Even the revelation they had was given to them. So what happened is that eventually, those people exalted revelation more than Bible study. What happened eventually? What happened was this. Bible was cancelled. So one man will now say, God say, I should marry two wives. One man will now say, God say, I should marry your wife. So revelation was now conflicting with what? Revelation. But because they did not understand the supremacy of the word of God, they were not able to judge revelation. So that movement went into error. So that's why you will hear that sometimes those garment churches, they will go and pray at the graveyard. They will go and pray at graveyard. The reason why is that when those things start from revelation, this is the danger of revelation without balance in the word of God. You must understand, every revelation must be judged by scriptures. How do I know? 1 Corinthians 14. Bible says, if two or three prophesy, let them sit down and judge. What they judge is not by revelation, they judge by scriptures.